listening to The Knicks Recap, your source for all New York Knicks-related content.
Well, that credit, right? Because we fans have been killing Thibs all season. I'm sure you heard it as well, too. But now the team is winning. Unjustifiably,
I felt like. Because right. To me, like, bro, all the Knicks coaches, and I apologize for cutting you up, but I'm just saying, like, all the Knicks coaches they've had over the years, like, accomplishment-wise, like, Tibbs is high up there. And I get the rotations where sometimes, like the game against the Nets, it was like, all right, man, I think you got it. Like, you could take out Brunson from and Julius from playing, like, 35, 37. It's almost like – and I don't think of myself as the minutes police. Like, I'm really not. But it, just for the sake of, like, if they got hurt, like, that would anger me. Because, like, they didn't need to be in the game that late. I think of it from that aspect.
So with me, with Thibs, right, I think a lot of things with the players, what's happening now is we're giving the team credit. But for me, it's kind of hard to give the team credit. To hear the locker room, the camaraderie, you know, how the team is energized there. I mean, they love playing with each other. And I know that it's a team, but the coach is part of that. So I feel like you have to give him some credit in that regard, too. I'm not saying he's coach of the year, but I think he's at least a candidate now, probably right behind, you know, Mike Brown for Sacramento. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
That's fair. I mean, I think Mike Brown's winning this right now. Like, you asked
yeah,
me today,
for sure, for sure.
Like,
but Mike, he's into that conversation, though.
No question. It's just funny to me because, like, more than half of Knicks Twitter at one point this year was, like, calling for this guy to be out of a job.
Yep, for sure.
And I always, like, I kind of laughed at it because I'm, like, just given the front office and the, like, CAA ties, he would get as much rope as possible. And then the second you fire him, then all eyes would be going to you. I just never saw the urgency, especially when they were hovering around like 500. It's not like they were abysmal. Like, they were figuring it out. And I think, again, I really think like Josh Hart has kind of settled things because, like, you got RJ trying to go off earlier in the game, get his points, do his thing. Quickly, Brunson and Hart, you know, as your closers, has worked for them and been effective. Obviously, Mitch Robinson coming back, they needed. I think somebody was saying, like, I was tuning into my boy Begley's show for a little. One of the guys came on and said Mitch Robinson was top five center in the NBA. I kind of was like, pump the brakes.
Oh, yeah, that was
Sean said that.
I was kind of like, you got to pump the brakes on that one a little bit.
I think top 15, I would say top 12.
Yeah, I don't know, but when I heard five, I had to get another bottle of Poland Spring because I spit out the first part of it.
Not the Poland Spring.
Yeah, we don't do Evian or Dasani is never allowed in my household. If you come in here with that water from like Red Hook, you gotta go.
No Fiji in the Scotto household. No Fiji water.
Fiji's a little bougie. I've done that in Vegas when we've gone to summer league, and I had to go downstairs to the hotel lobby and, you know, get a little something. You know, you got to rehydrate after you're out and about. Last summer was fun. We did a 2 Chainz concert. Good times, you know.
Where are we in your, I guess, in your opinion, your humble opinion right now? Because a lot of us have us, you know, a lot of us are talking Eastern. I don't know if we're there, but I think we're definitely, it's hard.
I don't think there's a team in the East that's like, I want the Knicks as my first round team. Because you know they're going to be like in your ass on defense and just like a pain in the ass. I really don't know how else to say it. Like, with the way that they're built, they just have this like, this depth to them now and a grit. I mean, I the only thing I would say is like, I'm kind of surprised like offensively teams haven't been able to take away one of Brunson or Randle yet. And I think in the playoffs, schematically that could be an issue. You're going to need like RJ or Grimes, or somebody's got to be that third scorer consistently for them in a playoff series. Because if I'm an opposing team in the, and I get the Knicks in the playoffs in the first round, I am like blitzing Brunson on pick and rolls, and trying to like go from there. I would just not want him or Julius trying to beat you at that point.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned Julius Randle. I feel like there's not a lot of players you can put your finger on to say that they've rewritten their story. I mean, he's come back from like a bad season to have, you know, the most improved player type of season. He had a season like last year. Now he's coming back with another all-star campaign, possibly having the best, you know, career season of his life right now in terms of how he's playing, especially rebounding-wise, which I think a lot of people killed him for last year. I think he's doing it at a way more efficient clip now, especially doing it, you know, within traffic and a lot of bodies around him. You know, what are your thoughts on Randle tonight, especially hitting that three like Melo from the corner there? That gave me some Bulls vibes. I don't know about you, but that Luol Deng three that Melo hit over him, it gave me those type of vibes.
Yeah, no, that's a fair comparison. I think with Julius, the biggest thing is last year he reverted to old habits last year of pounding the ball into the ground, not as much looking and trusting his teammates. I think that the pendulum has swung the opposite way this year. He's been more trusting. He's talked about it, like his mental frame of mind has been better. His confidence has been there. And I think a part of that is them encouraging him, and like whether that's Tibbs, Johnny Bryant, to shoot the three and believe in it. Now, I'm not saying he should have been in the three-point contest, all due respect. But, I mean, for him, like it's been a weapon that at least he's confident enough in. You know, is Julius Randle the number one or two player on a title team? I don't know about that. I don't think so. You know, but Brunson, like I've seen what Brunson can do in the playoffs without Luka Doncic, by the way, which I don't think a lot of people give enough credit for. And so I know that when the lights shine bright, he could play. I think Julius is going to have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder from the previous playoff experience a couple of years ago. And I would like to think that he's going to be in a better position to perform at a higher level now. I'm curious how guys like Quentin Grimes get their first taste, how it goes for them. But it's a different makeup than 2 years ago. And one of my buddies that's actually in this space for a long time, we went to college together, we've been friends since, you know, Stefan Florval, he's a Knicks fan, he's in here. And we talk a lot about the different dynamics of this Knicks team this year, the way the roster's built with younger guys, homegrown guys, versus like 2 years ago when it's not a knock on like a Reggie Bullock or anything like that. Or, you know, I think Elfrid Payton even was on that team at that point. It seems like a distant memory. Those seemed like kind of hired guns, you know, the Nerlens and Noels of the world. Like this group is more homegrown and has like some upside to it looking ahead. I don't know what that upside is going to be. Like, I thought if the Knicks made the playoff earlier, like before the Josh Hart trade, I thought, you know, first round. Now, could they get to the second round? Matchup dependent. I would love to see personally the Knicks play the Cleveland Cavaliers and Donovan Mitchell. For one to see when they were so in the talks for him, if he rises to the occasion in the playoffs and not against them. I thought that would have took this team to another level, and I thought they had enough picks to get it done then and have further picks that they could have tried to supplement the team going forward. I know there was like a little bit of a debate on that from Knicks Twitter, but that's where I personally stood looking at the team. But, you know, Grimes has been a solid defender for them. And a three-point shooter. Sometimes I'd like to see him get a little bit more offensive opportunities. I think he's pretty efficient. But they're rolling right now. And, again, I love what Josh Hart's brought to this team. When Tom Thibodeau compared him to Jimmy Butler, like if If Tom Thibodeau was on Hinge or Bumble, Josh Hart would be his love language. And you can quote me on that if you want, like, tweet it out or whatever. Because I believe that. Like, that is his guy. He loves everything about him, the way he plays. And I thought the Jimmy Butler comparison was a little OD, but I understood what he meant in terms of mentality and from when he was in college.
AG, you got something to ask
Scotto? Yeah, Scotto, I just wanted to ask you a question real quick, bro. If you had to vote today for most improved player, who are you giving it to, and why is it Jalen Brunson?
Here's the thing. I think because Brunson kind of broke out in the playoffs, it might hurt him with some voters because you saw, like, a little bit of the upside. I think Brunson's in the conversation. I think, though, if you're, like, a Knicks fan monitoring this, you kind of got to be worried about Lauri Markkanen for the Utah Jazz. Some of my colleagues I know are kind of high on him and the growth that he had this year statistically. So I think that's going to be one of his tougher comps. And I think we talked about, we talked about Mike Brown with Coach of the Year, Tibbs and some others. We talked about six man with Brogdon quickly. You know, I'm sure Russell Westbrook is going to get some votes. I just believe that. I think there are some media members that are going to vote for him. I'm not going to say names. Those are my colleagues. Like, their ballots will get released and, you know, whatever. But
okay, yeah. Okay, cool. Appreciate that answer.
You trust James Harden in a second round?
One of you asked about, like, James Harden. It's like, I just think at a certain point as a great player, you have, like, a part of your legacy that's on the line. And it's pretty known about James with his playoff struggles. But this is a different Harden. It's not him being a 30-point, 35-point-a-game scorer. He's got Joel Embiid there, and he's just got to make plays for others. I think it's a different narrative now for him. If you want to ask me about Doc in the playoffs, if they got a 3-1 lead, I'd be scared because he's obviously blown the most 3-1 leads of any coach. I don't know. That is, like, the most erroneous stat I've ever heard. Shout out to, like, you know, StatMuse and what they do. But that's kind of the – that's kind of, for me, like, I like to me, Philly has good depth and good, like, playoff tested guys. Like, I know PJ Tucker's not scoring like that, but he's a dog. Like, George Niang is never intimidated. I think they call him the bus or something. I know, like, Knicks fans hate him, but, like, he's a good spot up shooter. Like, I think they've got pieces to do well. But again, I'm going, like, to me, Milwaukee or Boston's coming out of the East.
Mike, you can continue what you were saying regarding quickly.
No, I mean, like, they all they're a team. Like, they're cohesive. They care about each other, want each other to do well. That's the biggest thing. Like, the energy and the vibe. They've been, like, the vibes have been immaculate since Josh Hart got here. You could see it in the locker room after the game when they're joking around with each other. Pre-game, it's business. Got to go to work. Again, I just think – I will say about the Knicks, like, all year, they grind out a lot of wins. And I'm curious if that's going to help in the playoffs or they're going to be a little worn down from that. But they're definitely, like, they've slowly but surely, like, they're going in the right direction. And they got a lot of picks down the line to put themselves in positions for another star, which I do think if they want to – get to the elite in the East, they got to get another star caliber guy. But it's been nice to kind of see them fill out, like, the role players and whatnot, and, you know, see Tibbs adjust. I think that's always been a thing I've seen from fans on Twitter and in Knicks Twitter. And, you know, we do. I won't speak for everybody, but I know, like, I joke with Ian Begley a lot, like, We read sometimes, like, during the game, like, the Knicks fans' tweets and everything, and we'll get a kick out of it. You know, because it's kind of nice to get a pulse of, like, what the fans are thinking. And obviously some of my friends are fans, so I get that too. So I know, like, Tibbs has gotten a lot of, you know, heat from fans, but I've definitely seen a lot more crickets on that. And, you know, like Jalen Brunson even gave him a pound and made him smile the other day. Like, that cracked me up. This guy's always, like, so serious, up 25. RJ, what the fuck? You know what I mean? It's like, every call. I forgot, there was, like, that viral clip with the ref where the ref was saying it was the correct call. He's like, no, it's not. And I just, like, I don't know, man. He is, like, a controlled Four Loko or something, like on the sideline.
That's the craziest comparison that I've ever heard to Tom Thibodeau. Damn, man, that's a fire one, man. Oh my god, I gotta clip that. That's great, Mike. That is great.
I personally thought the Josh Hart love language, that would be my number one, but
Listen, man, you're dropping a lot of one hitters over here. I don't know what I got. I got to clip a couple of them, man. I'm gonna have to drop a couple of these. I got one more question for you, Scotto, just regarding the coaching. So I actually had Ian Begley on my show recently and asked him the same question, just regarding this team. There's a level. Dibs coaches at a certain level. They're playing at that level now. The also knock is that they always play at that constant level. Is there another threshold they can reach when it comes to postseason? What do you think about that in regards to this team? Can they go to another level, and can they reach that under Tom Thibodeau?
I mean, it's kind of hard to reach another level when you're 8-0. I think the difference would be certain players maybe being more efficient. Like, I'll say this for the Knicks. To me, like, Mitchell Robinson has to avoid foul trouble. Jalen Brunson can never get hurt. Julius Randle, like, you know what I mean? There's certain injuries, like, they can't, I don't think, like, they could withstand. And truthfully, I think the most irreplaceable player on the team is Brunson. Just given his leadership, like, his presence calming that team just on play to play. Like, even when another team goes on a run, just the way, like, he literally will call out a play and slow it down. Like, he has total control of a game. And I don't think they've had that in a – I can't – like, even when they had a star point guard like Marbury, it was just a different feel.
Listen to new episodes of The Knicks Recap, streaming every Friday.